Hello and welcome to part 2 of episode 32 of the Mood Swings podcast with my guest Ailey McMillan. I'm guessing you listened to part 1 so you know what a lovely person Ailey is. And yeah, I'm sure you're looking forward to part 2, otherwise why would you be back? So I won't say too much. In part 2 we talked about, I wouldn't say it's so much politics, but just about, I suppose, the system that we live in. And we also talked about healthcare in terms of mental health and access to it, and a bit about that, and just a bit about music and playing in bands and how the music industry has changed and stuff since we first got into music, I guess. Talked a wee bit about that. It's a bit shorter than part 1, which is quite long, but yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. The only other thing I've got to say just now is that thanks to everyone for the support in 2017. I think we got something like almost 9,000 downloads / plays, which is incredible, so thanks so much for that. And in 2018 I hope to do a lot more stuff. So the thing I decided today that I want to do is speak to more sports people, because I really enjoyed, and the Russell Anderson episode was one of the best ones of last year, I think. So if there are any sports people you know who you think would be willing to speak about mental health, or would be good to speak about mental health, boxers, MMA fighters, footballers, I mean, I've said those are the three I'd be most interested in, but that's just because that's the sports I know most about. So yeah, so it's like purely for, that's the reason, because I know most about those sports, so I think I can talk better about those things with whoever I was speaking to. But I mean, I would consider anyone of any sport if they felt they had a valid story to tell, which I'm sure lots of people do. So please tag on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or mail me or whatever if there's anyone you think would be good for me to speak to. And I'll be back at the end for a quick 2-minute goodbye. But next week my guest is Mr. Davey King of the band Star Rover. And it's a brilliant conversation as well. But for now, enjoy part 2 with Ailey. Okay, cheers. Bye. Start of the last part, I was like, we're back, and then I was like, oh no, we're not back. Yeah, no, this is the first.
Yeah. Maybe you'd be back then, but I wasn't back.
No, but I think maybe because we were in the pub before,
yeah,
we were like, sat and we had a little chat, and then we moved venue. Yeah,
we're back in Spoons.
Yeah, well, not the last podcast I recorded, but the one before I recorded in Willow Spoons in London. They're fucking just good for recording, man.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like,
I don't know, there's lots of good for a lot of
things. There's lots of plugs. There's like a wide variety of non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks.
They've got vegan options.
Yeah. There's no music on.
There's no music. You can fucking chill out. You can sit in the Spoons by yourself.
I do.
And not feel weird.
I did
it
a lot when I was in London. It was like, sitting in the Spoons. I did it on Remembrance Sunday, which was last Sunday.
Mm.
And there was loads of like ex-servicemen. Obviously, we're all meeting up for drinks in London because it was like the sort of thing they do. And I sat down at a table, and then I thought like that would be the whole party of them there. And then more started to arrive, and I thought, well, rather sit between two parties of these guys all know each other, I was like, I'll just move. So I kept moving further and further into the corner until it was like me and all these like military dudes, like just like hanging out with their like all in like suits, and had all their medals and stuff in their jackets. And they were all really lovely. Like, the one that got like the avocado bagel, like, and he was eating that, and he's like, I didn't want the chips, I just wanted the bagel. Like, and he's like, do you want a chip, mate? And I was like, I'm okay, like, sit on my laptop. Like, yeah, but no. Well, this Spoons, I think, I remember years ago making fun of my friend because he came to Glasgow.
and he hadn't been through that many times. He was here for a gig, and I was like, I can't believe you've gone to Witherspoon's when you were in Glasgow too. Like, you've got all these options of all these like wonderful places you can go, and you've got a Witherspoon's. Yeah, man, $2.95 a pint. Like, I'm not, I can't. And then now I'm like, I'm just on the same page as him. Like, I went through my stage of, I suppose I mix up now, but I'm definitely on board with going to Witherspoon's.
It's good that you know that in any way in the UK, you're never more than a sort of 10, 15 minute walk from a place that is warm and dry, has clean toilets, sells cheap tea and coffee, has plugs. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. Although, that, like, when we were talking in the last part about how, like, making money for people is a new, like, I can't think of anyone worse to give my money to than Witherspoon's.
Yeah,
yeah, he is, probably. It's not going to stop me. Like. Are you a fan of Simon Amstel?
I wouldn't say a fan, but I wouldn't say, you know, I don't mean that in a way where I'm like, I wouldn't say a fan, but like, I haven't really consumed much of his content for the last 5 years, so I don't really know.
Since Buzzcocks?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, he was on a podcast I was listening to the other day, and he said, like, he was talking about being an ethical person, and he talked about, like, how he went to a shop and bought shoes, and there was the reason Nike shoes he wanted, but he didn't buy them because, like, he heard that Nike employ, like, you know, like, third world workers or whatever don't get paid properly.
Yeah.
So he went and bought, like, a pair of Converse shoes, and he was telling the girl at the till, this for some reason, like, oh, I didn't buy the Nike trainer, because she was like, you know that Nike own Converse? And he was like, no, I didn't know that. And then he was like, I still bought the trainers though, because I didn't think anyone would know that. Anyone, like, if I didn't know that Nike owned Converse, and then no one else would know, so no one would know that I've done this ethically wrong thing. I think that kind of, like, sums up ethics these days, like, in a sort of kind of, like, everything you buy, almost, like, I'd say 99% of stuff you buy is going to have fucked someone over somewhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just about the image you want to portray about how much you will, like, project that you will be blessed and just fucked someone over.
There is no such thing as ethical consumption under, like, capitalism, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's, like, it's, yeah, I'm vegan. And I also try and buy clothes and stuff secondhand, or like whatever. Like, that's the thing, like, there's like a lot of really great ethical companies out there for fashion and stuff that I know about, or have like seen through friends and stuff, but like, it's just like, so it is the cost thing, you know, and like, once you build up a wardrobe of things that will last a long time or can be repaired or so on, then, you know, that's great, but you kind of need to build that up. Like, you can't just start from, you know, because like,
can't just burn all your clothes and be like, I'm only going to wear ethical things from now on.
Yeah, exactly, and like, it's all costs money, doesn't it?
It does. Sucks.
But also, it's good knowing that you're not fucking people over.
Yeah, I think I just live in the land of the ignorant, I think, a lot of the time.
Well, you kind of have to do that in a way, like, also you can't automatically change everything overnight, do you know what I mean? It's all like a process,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, okay, now I am buying more clothes secondhand, and then now I don't know, whatever, like, you know, all those things. And I think also it's just like, if you're the kind of person that also like supports artists, supports like musicians and stuff who are like marginalized people, and I don't know, all that, it's all kind of under the same umbrella.
Same.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, this is the thing I said I was going to ask you about. This, I don't know, do you do Twitter? Are you a Twitter person?
Not really. Well, I'm getting more into it. Like, I have the Breakfast Club account that I like view Twitter on, but I feel very tentative about like
tweeting.
Yeah, jumping in.
There's been controversy on Twitter recently. I don't know if you saw, they like doubled the amount of characters you like to use.
Oh yeah.
So I've upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
I was concerned, was like, I don't know. Do you know much about Aidan Moffat? Abstract dude.
No, not
he
really.
Put out like an album recently of like B-sides and stuff that he did for a project that he did, and he put it up as like a pay what you want sort of like download thing. And he recently also tweeted like that the pub he like drinks in, the local pub, was like a fiver, like £5.30 for a pint of Peroni, which is like his favourite beer. And then someone tweeted him like, if you can afford to live in an area where it's £5.30 a pint, no one should be giving you money for your, like, it's not worth paying you for the music.
Yeah.
And he like kicked off and just like put a massive rant being like about like, well, it was really, he really well put together, but just saying like, you know, like, talk about how he doesn't make a lot of money at all. Yeah. Like, he lives in like an alright area, like, mm. has a partner who like is two income sort of household, they live in a flat and stuff. Talk about how he just hasn't paid tax like a lot of years because his income's underneath the tax sort of like limitation stuff. And then just, and I'm also just saying like, if you're saying you want to live in a society where you don't pay people unless they need the money, like, have you ever bought anything in the supermarket? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because those people, the corporations are like millions and millions of pounds. I just thought, I think that backwards approach to the music industry is what's killed it because of like people not paying for downloads and stuff. So I thought, just what are your thoughts as an independent sort of.
So I guess I don't really buy that much music in terms of like, I don't buy new records from like bigger artists and stuff. I have a Spotify account. I'm one of those. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay.
But like my friend's music or like bands that I like, DIY bands that I like and stuff. And then also, if I like really like something, I'll buy it. But I just don't have overly much disposable income most of the time. So like, I buy music when I can afford to, and that's kind of what I'm into. The problem with that is as well that like now the people who have the buying power in music, in terms of underground music or whatever, less like not just like the top 40, is it's like middle-aged cishet white men, and they're the ones who buy records and spend money on t-shirts and spend money on, you know, and like, you know, good on them for spending money on something good and distributing their wealth in that way. Like, that's great, but like, it also means that they also have like a specific taste or a specific thing that they're maybe gonna relate to or whatever. Just like
Bon Jovi issues.
Six Music Dad music. Do you know what I mean? And like, it kind of like, that's the problem of like a lot of like, not the problem at all, it's not a problem, but like lots of people who like marginalized people who make music and are in part of that community and or even just go to those shows, like they don't have that money to spend. It's not like necessarily very like lucrative, but that's like not really the point. But then it's not even just about making money, it's about just like staying afloat, you know, not even like staying afloat personally with like, you know, like it's like more just like it would be nice to be able to go on a tour and not come out the other side like
with a loss,
or like freaking out because you think everyone's got a total of like fucking 60 quid in their bank account altogether, and like, you know, if you don't get paid your guarantee for this show, then you won't be able to pay the person who's driving you, you know, like all those things. And yes, really stressful.
Yeah, I don't mean like, I don't know if you're into, if you listen to JBT at all, but he I read an interview with him. Do you know the Maccabees, the band? Maccabees? It was when they split up, and then JBT, I think, was like friends with them, or they toured all together or something back in the day. And the interviewer just asked JBT how he felt about the Maccabees splitting up, and he just said, look, like, it's obviously upsetting, and they were a great band. He's like, but no one understands now how tough it is to be in a band. Like, even a band of like the Maccabees size, it's not massive, but like, big enough, you know what I mean? They should be able to tour and things comfortably. Just like, it's, they couldn't because it was too hard, too costly, and too hard. And then, do you know RM Hubbard from Glasgow as well? I saw him once talk, and he said that the only reason he can afford to live off music is because it's just him and his guitar.
Yeah.
He has no overheads really, other than the petrol costs for him to get to gigs, and that's all it costs him. Sort of thing. So it's like, I think we were saying before, the music industry is like being crippled by that sort of opinion that people, anyone in it must be making so much money that they don't need money. Well, you don't need you to buy the records.
We don't, like, we don't have a drum kit. Do you know what I mean? We have to borrow everything. Like, if I want to, like, record music, even, like, at home, like, I need to borrow stuff from people to even do that in a fucking DIY way, because how can anyone afford, you know, like, loads of pedals and loads of cables and guitars and nice guitars and getting guitar fixed and set up and all these, like, microphones and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, all so costly.
Yeah.
It would be really great if, like, I mean, all of this really is just about, like, to be honest, my opinion of the whole thing is that, like, I had this sudden fucking realization that, like, in order for marginalized people, or for, like, people of color, for queer people, and for women, and for everyone to, like, thrive, basically we need to, like, fucking get rid of the system that is in place right now and start with a fucking new thing. And that's, like, the, you know what I mean? Like, because, like, under the current system, like, it's not possible for most people to flourish and for most people to... Yeah, and it fucking sucks. And I don't think, you know, you can change little bits, you can change this and that, but ultimately, like, it fucking needs an overhaul in order to change enough, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I guess, like, also, yeah, this all kind of, like, ties... like, most people I know are, like, worried about money.
Yeah.
All the time, and it doesn't fucking help, you know? It doesn't necessarily, like, it's just like, if you sometimes, like, because I go through periods of being very extremely, like, productive and, like, really, like, fucking on it and, like, really excited about everything, like, fucking, like, yes, and then I go through periods of, like, completely stopping and, like, not being able to do anything, and, like, yeah, it sucks, like, on top of that, also worrying about money and stuff. When I'm, like, in a good place, it's like,
you work yourself out.
Yeah. But then also that's dangerous, isn't it? Yeah.
I know what you mean. I don't make any money off doing the podcast. Sorry, listeners, like, you're getting this for free, and it's, it probably costs me money at the end of the day. Like,
yeah.
I know what you mean. That's like a weird... It's a horrible feeling. It's a weird feeling for me, knowing that, like, I'm doing this thing and it's perceived as, like, almost like a job, I suppose, in some senses, but, like, it doesn't give me any money, and I lose money.
Yeah.
No, it's not me begrudging doing it. Like, I love doing it and I will continue to do it. It's just, like, a weird thing, I think, with bands and stuff. I don't know if you ever got the thing with, like, family. Like, you'll tell a family you're in a band, but it's like, oh, getting, like, making so much money off it and stuff, and you're not, like... Do you get that, like, when you go home for Christmas dinner or whatever, like,
no,
Uncle Ralph, you've not seen for...
Actually, my uncle, I have, like, a really small family, and I have two uncles and one auntie, and my uncle on my mum's side, it's like my mum's family that comes over for Christmas to ours, and, like, he's really lovely, and he's, like, a really great person, but I don't think for years, we never really saw... eye to eye, maybe, like, we just, I suppose, like, just it's a middle-aged man and, like, a young person, you know what I mean, like, necessarily, like, that commonality or, like, whatever, and but when I started playing in bands, it was, like, it just suddenly clicked, and, like, because he's, like, into music, and when he was younger, he was, like, really into music, and I think he had a guitar and stuff, and, like, I don't know, yeah, it's cool. To be honest, I'm really lucky, we're, like, my family are just, like, really supportive and really, like, proud of me, like, whatever I'm doing, and as long as I'm, like, doing whatever brings me joy or, like, I don't know, then it's cool with them, yeah.
That's good. I'm glad for
that. Yeah, and, like, I think that's, I'm really, really fortunate in that, because I know, like, that's not the case for probably most people, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a... I really hope we put that up on the microphone.
God.
I'll be sampling that for fucking weeks, like.
Was that a sneeze? Was that a...
I don't know. I can see the guy doing it as well. Like, he's right in my line of sight. I don't know. He looks a bit like Santa. And that was definitely a present. What he just provided. God, did he hear me? He looked over. Fuck. No, I was going to ask you, sorry. I just looked at the foam in my beer there and just was like, it's like his white fluffy beer, and, like, I've completely lost it.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your just fault, it's Santa's fault. Fuck's sake, Santa. No, I was gonna ask you, you're talking about, like, how you feel like there's needed, like, an overhaul for these people, for marginalised people to have a voice. I think in the last Even like the last 3 months, I would say, like, things are changing quite, not radically, but things are moving quicker than they have done, say, for the last 3 years or 10 years even. Like, things are seem to move quicker now. I just want to know how you thought about that. Or do you think it's... do you think things are moving in the right direction, or...?
No, but I think that at some point... capitalism and everything is just gonna like kind of explode. That's like what it kind of seems to be gearing towards, right? There's definitely gonna be something that will happen that will maybe provide an opportunity to have some new ideas floating about, you know what I mean? But I don't know if that's necessarily. I think things are like getting better to a point, and I think like things are, for example, better than they were 10 years ago for maybe like marginalised voices being, you know, listened to and stuff. However, I think that in the like the sort of like structure that society and like everything is at the moment, it has been for the past like 100 years or whatever, basically that it's it only ever gets to a certain point of being good, but ultimately this the way that it is structured, it will always be like screwing people over. So I guess that's what, I don't know, but everything does happen very quickly and it is very scary. And also that's something that definitely like gives me anxiety, is just generally the world
not moving too quick
and everything that is happening and like lots of horrible shit that's happening. And it's really like the world's like a really scary place to be for a lot of people right now. That sucks.
Yeah. See, I kind of agree with what you're saying about something will happen in capitalism or be destroyed, and that would be good, but also part of me is really pessimistic and thinks that, like, nah, it's fucked. Like, Trump's just gonna nuke all of us, and that'll be the fucking end of it. Or things will just get more like. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Yeah.
So which, just in case you listen, do you listen like, do you know Sophie Hagen? Do you know her? Okay. So she has a podcast, and quite often when people that I've heard people speak about how it's almost like the world we're living in is like almost like one of these dystopian like world you've heard about in fiction for years, and people are saying like it's kind of weird, like we've almost like arrived at that place, and that like for me like resonates quite deeply, and it's also like terrifying. It's like the world has become a like a weird place. I don't know, like,
a lot of things just make absolutely no sense.
Like, I don't want to bang on about it because I know it's on all like panel shows and stuff, and like, but Donald Trump being in power, and like, I just think it's like weird. Like, he's like fucking, it's like the equivalent to us having Alan, like, he was the guy who was on The Apprentice, do you know what I mean? Like, it's equivalent to, like if Alan Sugar became like, I mean, I don't know if you watched The Apprentice, like, but just like it's the equivalent of like someone you watch your TV for like entertainment, and then like 2 years later they're like
it's
running shit. Like, I mean, I like his puns and I like when he says you're fired, but I don't want to fuck have all the power. Like,
yeah, it's completely. It's at the same time bizarre, and it's also at the same time just kind of seems like the natural conclusion, or like, you know, the direction of just how things are and where, and it's just all kind of. I don't know, it seems kind of, I don't know, also just crazy stuff, like, for example, like, someone, like a politician, like a British politician on TV talking about how they think abortion is wrong, and it's like, that seems like something we've already been over and kind of, I just assumed, but then you can never assume that any of your rights or your, you know, are like... Yeah.
Nothing cemented anymore.
Yeah.
I say it anymore. I don't think it ever has been, but I think things are coming loose.
Yeah.
I remember one night, like, I was in my pals, and one of them was like, said something about Donald Trump, and one of my pals was like, oh, it's kind of funny though that he's like president, and like, well, really upset. I was like, it is fucking funny, but you know, like, but you know what? It shouldn't be, like, I shouldn't be fucking laughing at him in power, like, the most powerful nation in the world. Like, I've got plenty of stuff I can laugh about. Like, that's not fucking one of them. My pals are so sorry.
Yeah, it's like, also, you can laugh if, like, it's not really ever going to affect you. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, if you're like a cishet white man, existing now? Like, and you have like, you have like an okay job and whatever, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you're secure in your position in, or pretty secure in your position in the world, and like, you know, whoever comes and goes politically or whatever, it kind of doesn't really make that much odds, so it is easier to like laugh and stuff. Yeah. But if you're like, for example, like a queer person of colour in America right now, like,
yeah,
it must be completely terrifying and not funny in any way, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah, I guess like that's the thing. I don't really know what the answer is to anything, and I don't really know what there is to do apart from like support and listen to like voices of marginalised people. And, yeah.
How do you feel like internet? Do you think that's like impacted on that quite a lot, or do you still think it's not enough because there's so many people who don't necessarily need the limelight still have it, and the internet has just accentuated that? Or do you think there is room in there that the fact that because everyone can sort of have a voice, that marginalised voices do get more heard?
Yeah, I think it's at least like giving people connections to other people and like helps people to be exposed to those voices. And yeah, but for every like, I don't know, for every like queer person meeting another queer person on the internet who lives across the world and like talking about shit that's important to them or affects their life, there's also like two fucking like alt-right weirdos meeting on the internet who are like, yeah, it's like fucking, I don't know, whatever they like, I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do,
whatever they're into, just
you know what I mean? So it's like, it's like, yeah. And then also you can fucking, there's just like pockets, isn't there, where like you just don't even know about what's going on, and like, yeah, I don't know. But it's kind of an interesting about how like the not interesting, it's like terrifying and horrible, but like the history of like white supremacy and stuff, and like all this kind of alt-right stuff all kind of comes out of the fact that since like the 60s or something, since like the civil rights movement in America, white supremacists dissolved.
Yeah.
Like they used to, but they were like still active, but like in this kind of more like underground fashion. So people just kind of assumed that they're kind of, at least it was happening behind closed doors, or like, you know, and that's kind of like, but now it's kind of all come back around. It's a very odd time to be in. So yeah, sorry, I'm just.
No, that's I mean, I was asking the question, so those are the answers that.
Sorry, I always, by the time I've got two sentences in, I've probably forgotten what the question was. And
that's all good.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were going to talk about mental health, healthcare, and access to it, and lack maybe thereof.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just do another big monologue.
You go for it, pal.
Is that all right? Cool. Well, I guess, like, so, I find it to be quite troubling having access to mental health care and stuff. Like, even as, like, I don't know, like, sort of, like, educated, kind of, like, I don't know, like, whatever, like, I've got, the odds are, like, with me to be able to go in and say, this is what I need, and this is, you know, and, like, whatever, and be, to be listened to, and, like, it just doesn't fucking happen, you know, like going in and like literally being like kind of just like explicitly saying like, this is how I feel, I think this is what I really need, and someone being like yeah, I don't know, like, you know, I've like tried some different medications and stuff like that and never really found anything that suited me. And recently I've started, or this year I started taking St. John's Wort. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Is that like a herbal thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
It's like a herbal, like, anti-anxiety, anti-depressant thing. And it, like, fucking works for me quite well.
Good.
It's not like, because I always felt with, like, this medication for like depression and stuff. It like was way too like full on and like kind of dampened everything down to like a little like, I don't know, but the St. John's Wort has kind of been more like, it's kind of taken the sort of like chopped the edges off of the really ecstatic and the really and like it's kind of it's been good. But also what's been your experiences of like, have you
Oh, I've got so much to say on this. we could have another podcast going on. We'll see. I've got a bit of a weird story with it, because when I was sort of growing up, I went to the doctor with my mum a few times. I didn't want to go on my own, so my mum would take me. And doctors are very apprehensive to prescribe any medication, to do, like any antidepressants. It was very much what we talked about earlier, where like, what's just your hormones, you're just a teenager sort of thing. And that was fine. And then when I was 17, I ended up in hospital because I tried to kill myself. And then I had the weirdest experience where everyone that's admitted to hospital because of that has to go and see like a psychologist or psychiatrist to tell them and have a quick chat with them so they can readmit you just to check you're not, pretty much to say you're not a danger to yourself anymore. So I went and saw this guy. I really liked him. We sat and chatted for 10 minutes and then my mum and dad came back in. And then he was just sort of like explaining to them, like, it's like, and me, like, what his determination was from what God was speaking to me. And he was just sort of a bit like, oh, I don't really think there's anything really wrong with you. I think you're just a bit like pissed off at the world and your expectations for what you'll get out of life are a little bit too high and stuff. And like I say, like, I still, to this day, I would say I really like the guy. And it just, when he told me that, I just like, for me, it was like, he's like, you just told me there's nothing wrong with me. So from then until very recently, I didn't ever go to a doctor again. I went through various periods of highs and lows and things that, it took until quite recently. Then I had an episode at work 3 years ago, and my first proper panic attack that I can remember. And I was told by then by a colleague who also suffered from anxiety that she knew what was going on. Well, didn't know what was going on, but had a rough idea that I should go to the doctors then. And I just ignored that, and just because of the experience I had before. And then a couple of years after that, so maybe I'm 26 now, so maybe when I was just turned 25, so just over a year ago, was when I decided that enough was enough, and I was like, I'm just going to have to give this another bash, and that's when I went to the doctors. It's been alright since I went back. I think they're a lot more willing to talk to you when you're a 25-year-old saying this is going on than when you're a 15-year-old saying this is going on. They don't. And I think in a way, like, it's good that they're not overly willing to prescribe medication willy, such a granny phrase, willy-nilly to, like, teenagers. I think there just need to be a level of responsibility in terms of let's not just give them drugs, but at the same time, I was very much dismissed at that age, and then I ended up in hospital having taken a massive overdose, and then I was dismissed again like the next day, you know what I mean? So that very much put me off. I don't know, what have your experiences been?
Well, I guess like recently it's been, I feel like what is kind of like, I feel like I've just been panned off with medication. And like when I've been like, I've gone in a few times and been like, I really want to talk to someone. And not just for 5 minutes, you know, while in, you know, an appointment with your GP, who's like, no offense, but like a random GP. You know what I mean? Like,
You're not building up a relationship with them.
Exactly. And you're not necessarily specifically into that area or like, like the next person who's coming in is like, I've got
sore knee or something.
So like, and they've always just been kind of like, oh, well, I tried to do like CBT and like I just, so like I tried to like, it was like I had to phone up a thing and then they were like, oh well, I tried this twice, so I had to phone up a thing and be like, oh blah blah blah, and then they were like, okay, well, we'll phone you in around 3 weeks, right? And I'm like, what? I don't know what I'm going to be doing in around 3 weeks. That's so vague. And then if you don't phone them back, then you get bumped to the bottom of the list or whatever. If they phone you twice and you don't answer, it's like, I like work, I like do shit, I can't miss out.
So easy to be caught. Yeah. Twice, definitely.
And sorry, am I gonna sit on like even on the train and just be like, so I like really want to come with, you know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna do that. Yeah. What the fuck? Anyway, and then so I also tried to do CBT through a charity called, that's really bad, but anyway, that was like a few months ago, and they were like, they said that because I was going away, because I'm like on tour quite a lot, yeah, of stuff, that I couldn't, I should wait until I come back. But then I was like, well, I'm going to be away again, yeah, and needed to have a block of whatever weeks to do this thing. Anyway, so I was like, oh, and I never got back to them. And then literally like a few days ago, I just got this text from being like, oh, you've got an appointment at this thing.
Just through the charity.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, that's good, but that's like, you know, 4 days away or something. Like, how am I, it's all about this, like, how am I supposed to be available for all this stuff? And when you have like this, when you don't have like a really regular,
yeah,
schedule and stuff, it's just like completely impossible to do all these things. That's what I, yeah. That's kind of what I found. Also, I kind of just want to like go and talk to a therapist, but like I can't afford to.
Yeah.
And like that fucking sucks, you know? I want like one of those, like, I want like a therapist like you see in TV and films and shit.
Yeah, I know.
But, like,
what
it would be nice to have someone to like go into these fucking traumas and shit with and be like, and work it. I don't know.
No, I know exactly.
But it just seems like it's not the kind of thing that you can
do. I think it's
do.
Just under resourced. I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
I think, like you said, getting panned off with medication, I think that's very much the case, but I think it's very much the case because it's not that this doctor you've seen doesn't want to refer you on to.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
It's just the resources. Not, like you say, there's like. Like, I don't know if you're looking at private therapy.
No.
Right, so you type it in, and there's fucking. Like in Aberdeen anyway, and I imagine Glasgow there's even more. There's like fucking heaps of people out there that are doing private therapy. And it's obviously just that the NHS either isn't employing enough people or the money there for therapists fucking sucks because it's much better just doing private because there's heaps of people qualified out there, obviously, but it just.
Well, that's the thing, like, it costs a lot of money to pay someone to sit down once a week with someone for 3 months or whatever. Like,
I mean, it's like, you can what, like 50, 60 quid, so. So you do that every week for 4 weeks, so stand a month for 4 weeks, £200, like.
Yeah.
Where you get, like, I've got a fucking 200 quid sitting about spare. Do you know what I mean? That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, yeah. I know, that's the thing, like, I'm with like the NHS and stuff, I'm like, I'm so frustrated, but like there's nowhere to direct that frustration because it's not like the doctor's fault, it's not like anybody's fault, it's a fucking.
It's the boy's fault, really, right?
Yeah. It's so gross. Yeah.
Covered.
Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad, like, we talked about that.
I hope that this is anything I said is vaguely interesting.
Oh, yeah, I've got two more questions for you, then you're off the hook.
Cool.
So, this is just a thing I ask everyone, but I only ask it when I remember, which is not all the time. So.
Yeah.
But just two questions, I sort of wait until I ask them both sometimes. It's like, what have you done in the past to help with your mental health? Just things you've done, like self-care or just anything that can be as obscure as you want. And what would you recommend to other people who might be listening that are looking for ideas or things they could do to help themselves?
Yeah, okay.
Because we just established that therapy is fucking way too expensive.
Yeah,
to
right, so you've got to kind of come
all in. You have is podcast and then following things that Ailey is going to tell you to do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Something that really helped me a lot was like getting to a point where I have like a stable kind of like home life. I have like a nice place to go to.
Yeah.
Not even nice in the sense of like it's a beautiful flat. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Yeah.
But like somewhere that I can be quiet. If it
feels
I want
homely.
To.
Sorry.
Yeah, somewhere that feels like somewhere that's not the world outside, and I'm not constantly being like bombarded with stuff and information and people and so that's definitely a big thing. I think also just like I find also terrible things sounds kind of hokey, but like I think not drinking has been like a big help to me, but obviously that's not like necessarily for everyone, or like it's not necessarily as easy as just like not drinking for everyone. And like, weirdly enough, I don't know, I think like this isn't like to say that like everyone should go vegan and you'll not be depressed anymore, because that is not the thing at all. But for me, just like in general, the whole thing about not drinking and being vegan and stuff, and like just basically like taking consideration for
yourself.
And it doesn't help necessarily, but not doing the opposite really doesn't help.
Okay, that's
the thing. It's not like, because I know there's a lot of people who are like, you just need to like do some yoga and like, you know, blah blah, and it's like, sorry, there's like chemicals that are all messed up in my brain, so no amount of yoga is gonna necessarily help with that. But and I think also just being able to talk, have people that you can, I don't know, talk to about stuff that's important to you and not bottle things up and, you know, all the usual stuff. And also just like making things, if that's your jam, whatever it is, finding something that you can do that's outside of like this horrible oppressive system that brings you joy, that's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks Ailey for agreeing to meet me. And
no worries.
I don't know, we haven't met before and I think we've gone.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Oh no, sorry, I need to ask you one last thing. Just where can people keep up to date with what you've got going on, like online, like at Breakfast Muff and
Breakfast Muff is on Twitter, it's on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm personally on Instagram, I'm lovelystitch666. Please go there for all your to maybe just see what I'm up to in my life if you want. And also sometimes having breakdowns on it, that's nice as well. And Breakfast on Twitter, I don't know, come to shows, that's nice,
come to gigs,
talk to me, that would be good.
So go find Ailey online, go find Breakfast on Facebook, give them a like and then see where they're playing near you and go see them.
Yeah, that would be cool. Thanks so much.
So that's that. That is part two with Ailey McMillan of the bands Breakfast Muff and Rapid Tan, and she does all her own like craft work. Not the band craft work, like craft work. She makes stuff like crafts and she does artwork and stuff as well. All that kind of cool stuff. And as well as that, she was an ace person to speak to for the podcast, as you just heard. So, hope you enjoyed that. If you did, come back. We got another ace musician next week in the shape of Davey King of the band Star Rover. It was quite a intense chat about mental health, this one, in a good way. I think if you're one of the people that enjoys this podcast really because of the mental health aspect, then you're really going to enjoy Davey's contribution, as I did. And maybe Davey will be involved in something else I'm planning in the future. But more on that probably next week, to be honest, or in between this podcast coming out and next week's episode, you might know what I'm referring to. Anyway, thanks to you all for listening. Please keep listening. Please keep subscribing and recommending to friends and leave some weird reviews on iTunes or Acast, wherever, if you feel like you want to. It's much appreciated. And it really does help, because it pushes us up the ratings, the podcast ratings, and more people look at the charts and see where we are in the charts and think we might be worthwhile listening to. So, yeah. Get those ratings and reviews in, and that would be brilliant. Until next week, take it easy, look after yourself, and good luck with any resolutions you've made, but remember, not too much pressure on yourself to totally overhaul your life in one go. Just do your best. All right, cheers.